Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're always looking for perfection, right? Of course we are. And God's word says that out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. That's Psalm 50. But we want perfection, right? Perfect house, perfect job, perfect life, perfect Christmas. Wouldn't that be nice? You get the perfect Christmas. We always ask kids, you know, after Christmas, like, did you get everything you wanted for Christmas? Because maybe that's what makes it perfect. Getting everything you wanted. Perfect is what we strive for. And yet, for whatever reason, perfection always eludes us. It is a never-ending search, in spite of trying very hard. I mean, we're all working very diligently to make sure that our lives go well, that we eventually make it to a point where we are content and we can say that our life is perfect. But if you've ever felt discontentment, or the pointlessness of droning through life, or the exhaustion from simply going through life in general, then Christmas is for you. Why? Because it means that you're missing part of perfection. Perfect love. You see, love and contentment, they go hand in hand, because love is when someone else provides something for you. It's not something you can earn, but it has to be something that is given from outside. And so when we recognize that we have been given good things, it leads us further into contentment, which is why that question we ask kids, if they got everything they wanted for Christmas, probably isn't the right question. Because recognizing love isn't about getting everything you want. It's about recognizing that you have received something that you do not deserve. So what do you see in the manger? What do you see in the face of baby Jesus? Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe that God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God. And God abides in him. In the manger is a God who abides with us. It's a God who lives with us, and we don't deserve it at all. We don't deserve any of it. Talk about everything we want for Christmas. It's such a shame that God has poured so much love into our lives, especially through this baby Jesus who lies in a manger. And yet we still are discontent in life. We're still unhappy. We still drone through the pointlessness and the exhaustion of simply carrying on day to day. The reason we lack perfection in our lives is because we've failed to understand. We fail to actually see what God has actually given to us, because it's everything. Everything we have, everything we are, all of our physical blessings, all of our forgiveness and our eternal life, and it's just all constantly poured into our lives. But our sin, it blinds us. Praise the one who breaks the darkness. Praise the one who gives us everything that we have. But if I'm explaining you so far, if you can relate to any of this, you're in good company. And, you know, think about the Christmas story and the characters that we already know from those Christmas stories, right? First, we know that Mary and Joseph have to travel to Bethlehem, right, for a census. They have to be counted. And why do they need to be counted? But so that the government can excise taxes from them. You think people were happy about that? Like, you got a Roman government's requiring you to go to your hometown so you can be counted for this census, so that the way the government can take the proper amount of money from you. I can't imagine there were very many happy, content people in Bethlehem. People who thought that they were living a life of perfection at that given moment. Mary and Joseph included. You think she enjoyed riding a donkey 9 months pregnant to Bethlehem? Because I'd guess the answer is no. But it's interesting because God was coming. Right? And those people who are so discontent in Bethlehem, they don't even realize how near to them love really is. The love that is found in the face of the baby Jesus. It's literally right there. Probably within walking distance. And yet they miss it. What joy would have filled their lives if only they had found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. Can you imagine how life-changing that would have been for them? To think, oh, I had to drone through this thing where I had to be counted so I could get these taxes. But through the process, I got to see Jesus. That would have made it all worthwhile, wouldn't it? And don't think they missed an opportunity. I mean, the shepherds, right? We know they go there and then they tell everybody about what they had heard and seen. Like, certainly news would have spread around Bethlehem as the shepherds are very loud about what they had actually heard from those angels. But the people in Bethlehem missed out. Another example is King Herod. You guys know him from Scripture. He's the one who was in power. And as we get further into Matthew, we read part of Matthew 1, but as we go further, we learn about these magi who come to visit baby Jesus. And as they follow their star, they first go to Jerusalem, which makes sense because if a king is going to be born, they're going to look for him in the capital city. And there Herod finds out about this king who is born, but instead of being content with recognizing that in his jurisdiction, the Savior of the world has been born, God himself, he becomes discontent with the amount of power that he has. He can't stand the fact that maybe another king might come into his territory and take over what little power and control he had over his own life. And so instead of going to visit the Christ child, he tries to kill him. Could you imagine how different history would have been if Herod would have just gone, all right, you know, King of the Jews is born, we'll just let him go. We'll just be content with the fact that the King of the Jews is here and I'll take this earthly power and I'll let him have this spiritual kingdom that he's trying to build. But no, Herod, because he was discontent with just being the king that God had given him authority in his region for, he misses out. He doesn't understand who Jesus is. He doesn't seek the baby born in a stable. Contentment was so near. The perfection of God. And he missed it. Jesus is the love of God. He offers us joy. He offers us contentment. Indeed, he offers us perfection. Not because we earned it. Not because we deserve it, but simply because he loves us. He takes all of our sin, and we receive all of his righteousness. And it all starts with a baby born in a stable. We know Jesus does a lot of other things through life. We have the benefit of being New Testament Christians. We know that he takes those who are discontent with life, those who have to deal with sickness and death, and all manner of problems in the world. And what does he do? But he lifts them up. And people are literally falling on their knees to receive from the Lord. And so what about you? What do you see when you look into the manger? Do you see contentment? Do you see your perfection? Do you see God's righteousness and his gifts poured out for you? Because that's exactly what's there. If only we would open our eyes to look and to understand that God is love. And if you abide in him, he abides in you. It's a lifelong struggle. That's why God calls us again and again back to this baby in a manger, back to our Savior who was crucified for you, back to our Savior who rose from the dead. But in calling us back to himself Sunday after Sunday, you get to be the shepherds who visited Jesus on the night of his birth. And you get to be the wise men who visit him with their gifts. My friends, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God God gifts are here for you, for the taking, full and free. And with that, we can be content. In Jesus' name, amen.